Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited Q3 and nine months FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Barar.
Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you participating in the Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited's Q3 and nine months FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Tarun Sawhney, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Suresh Taneja, Group CFO, Mr. Sameer Sinha, CEO, Sugar Business Group, as well as other members of the senior management team. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, and a statement to this effect has been included in the invite which was sent to everybody earlier. I would also like to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will start this call with opening remarks from the management, following an interactive question and answer session. I will now request Mr. Tarun Sawhney to open the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 nine months fiscal 23 earnings conference call for Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited. The overall performance of the company for the nine months ended December 31st, 2022, has definitely been satisfactory. The key highlights, I'd like to discuss that before we get into the business-wise detail, are the following. The sugarcane crushed for quarter three fiscal 23 is 3.12 million tons, which is an increase of 25.3% over the corresponding period of the previous year. This is a result of the CapEx that was spent on modernization and debottlenecking at three of the factories of the group. The net recovery stood at 9.38% after the diversion of B-heavy molasses, with 92% crush with B-heavy molasses during the quarter. The lower recoveries, which I will discuss later, are mainly due to the heavy late rains. We are expecting to narrow this gap in the balance part of the season, as our sampling data suggests that the plant cane, which will start coming to the factories in the next couple of weeks, is showing great promise. The company has achieved sugar exports of 135,000 tons, which includes the sale of quota of 73,000 tons during Q3 fiscal 23. This is, of course, out of a total quota of approximately 205,000 tons. All of this has been achieved at remunerative prices. The increase in net distillery turnover by 61% in the nine months has been driven by additional capacities were commissioned during the course of the year, and this leads to sales volume increase of just under 40%, coupled with a 8% approximate improvement in realizations. There's been a robust increase in the turnover of both the power transmission and water business, growing by 29% and 41% approximately year-on-year for the nine months. The outstanding order book for our engineering business stood at 1,766 crores. Yesterday, the board of directors at our board meeting approved a CapEx of 90 crores for the sugar business and 100 crores for the power transmission business. The proposed CapEx of 90 crores towards our sugar business is for a process change at Milak Narayanpur towards refined sugar and modernization, debottlenecking, and most importantly, efficiency improvements at our various sugar units, which will lead to substantial cost optimization and a reduction in our cost of production. The proposed CapEx of 100 crores in our power transmission business is towards a brand new bay that will be set up with complete equipment for a new gear shaft. This will be at our existing facility at Metagali in Mysore, and it will also include machinery towards our defense business project and plant, which is a separate facility that will be set up over the next 12 months as well. For the power transmission business, this will lead to an enhancement in terms of total capacity from a base of approximately 450 crores to 400 crores. I'd like to also spend a few minutes discussing the financial highlights for the 9 months of fiscal 23. The profit before tax, before exceptional items, increased by 7.4% in the quarter. The profitability in the sugar business is lower as the cost of sugar sold pertaining to the previous season includes the impact of sugarcane price, which was increased for sugar season 21-22 and led to a higher cost of production when compared to the previous corresponding quarter. Further, is for the 9 months of fiscal 22, these numbers also include an export subsidy of 57 crores related to the previous period. The higher profitability of the engineering business is due to strong revenue growth of 45.8% and 35.8% during the current quarter and 9 month period compared to the previous corresponding periods. The total debt of the company stood at 389 crores on a standalone basis versus 525 crores on the 31st of December 21. The standalone debt comprises of term loans of 335 odd crores. Almost all these loans, again, are with interest subvention or at subsidized rates of interest. On a consolidated basis, the total debt is 480 crores compared to 592 crores for the previous period. The average cost of funds on the 31st of December stood at 4.75% versus 4.15% in the corresponding period of the previous year. The company at this point in time is holding surplus funds through short-term fixed deposits of 1,278 crores. Our proposed buyback of 800 crores is presently under approvals. The stake sale in Triveni Turbine Limited has infused substantial funds in the company, which, even after the proposed buyback, will meet the expansion requirements of the businesses and reduce finance costs on working capital requirements. I'd like to give a brief update on the buyback. The company has obtained approvals from shareholders. The draft letter of offer has been filed with SEBI, and our final observation letter is awaited. Turning towards the financial highlights, again, I'd like to point out that for the quarter, the revenues from operations of the company grew by 34% to 1,658 crores, and the EBITDA margin stood at 16% at 230 crores, and the PAT was a shade above 147 crores. I'd like to now spend a few minutes discussing the various businesses in a little more detail. Starting with the sugar business, our realizations during the quarter were 3611 or 3,611 rupees per quintal for domestic sales, and our export realization was a considerable premium at 4,041 rupees per quintal for the same period. The current sugar prices as of the 24th of January at our factories for refined sugar is approximately 3560 per quintal, and for sulfitation it's about 3450 per quintal. The sugar inventory on the 31st of December was just under 24 lakh quintals, valued at 34.4 rupees per kilo. Cogeneration operations have achieved external sales of 36.5 crores for the 9 months against 33 crores, an increase of 10%. I'd like to mention that our domestic realization price for this quarter is, as I mentioned, 36.11, which is a 1% reduction versus the corresponding period of the previous year. Now, this to me, frankly speaking, seems a little bit of an anomaly, because if we look at the stock position, especially on a month-on-month basis, to have prices at the same level and marginally lower than the previous corresponding period is a little bit of an anomaly. Frankly speaking, the expectation for the remainder of this year is that prices will gradually increase to a more healthier level. From an industry perspective, the country, as of the 15th of January, has produced 15.68 million tons, which is an increase of 4% when compared to the previous year. 515 mills are crushing versus 507 mills at the same point last year. And Uttar Pradesh has produced more sugar, 1% more sugar, at over 4.07 million tons at this particular point in time, which is in line with our projections. According to our estimates, Triveni estimates, we are anticipating net sugar production in sugar season 22-23 of 35 million metric tons, and this is lower than the previously announced estimates of ours, as well as street estimates, which were approximately 36 odd million tons. We still believe that this is a very healthy amount of production, and with 6 million tons of exports that have been announced, there is a possibility of a second tranche of a maximum of probably about 1 million tons that can be considered by the government. And our hope is that the government does consider an additional tranche very soon of 1 million tons of sugar, as the window to truly export sugar from India will end with the sugar season. And that is approximately the point in time when Brazilian sugar, etc., will also be in global markets. Turning to the international markets, based on reports, the forecast is that sugar season 22-23 is a surplus of 3 million tons of sugar. And this is primarily due to a substantially larger crop in center-south Brazil, as well as an increase in Thailand. The global sugar prices have also softened very recently, but you know it has been fluctuating for quite some time, and very substantial and improved pricing in global markets. So today, after touching highs of over 21.18 cents in December 22, New York number 11 futures are now trading at about 19.8 cents per pound. London White, the number 5 contract, was trading at $551 per ton, down from the recent highs of about $580 per ton in December 22. So we're sort of hovering around recent highs, which is quite encouraging, and which leads me to the point that if India were to export another million tons of sugar, the timing is very appropriate right now. The world market will certainly absorb that sugar, and Indian mills will receive remunerative pricing. Turning towards our alcohol business, we've had an 87% increase in production for the quarter under review. The same quarter has had an increase in average realization of 2.5 rupees, which stood at 56.6 rupees per litre. Additional capacities have been commissioned in the 9 months, which has resulted in the increased sales volume, and the aggregate distillation capacity now stands at 660 kiloliters per day. The profitability margins have been somewhat impacted by an increased transfer price of B-heavy molasses, and as you will note, we adjust the transfer price to be more relevant with the market prices from time to time. The sale of ethanol produced from grain accounted for 33% and 20% of total sales volume in the current quarter and 9 month period correspondingly. The ethanol produced from bee heavy molasses constitutes 57% and 72% of sales volume in the current quarter and 9 month period, against 88% and 80% in the corresponding periods of the previous fiscal year. From a domestic industry perspective, of the 470.5 crore liters that's been finalized by OMCs, against a total requirement of 600 crore liters. Contracts for just under 460 crore liters have been executed till January 1st, 2023. Against the above, 38 crore liters have been lifted by OMCs by January 1st. The average blending is 10.43%. The target, of course, as we all know, for the nation for this year is 12% blending. The total contracted quantity from sugarcane juice and B-heavy molasses is 133 crore liters and 204 crore liters, respectively, till January 1st, 2023. 5.8 crore liters is the contracted quantity towards C-heavy molasses, 18.7 crore liters from damaged food grains, and 97 crore liters from surplus rice. Therefore, the sugarcane-based feedstock continues to be the dominant contributor towards the ethanol blending program. And my view on this is fairly clear, that as we go forward and approach levels of EBP 20, the sugarcane sector should continue to play a disproportionately high role in terms of the government's EBP program. And we definitely need that to be accounted for in government policy. And I'm alluding directly towards the pricing of ethanol that is made from juice, because I think it is the most reliable source for ethanol and for the EBP program as we move towards the 1,000 crore mark and beyond. Turning quickly to the engineering businesses, I'd like to start with our power transmission business, which has seen revenue increases in the quarter of 71% to 60.5 crores and a PBIT improvement of 91.5% to shade above 21 crores. The closing order book is 23% higher at 262.75 crores. For the 9 months, the order booking grew at 10% for the same period. And I will, of course, be happy to discuss the changes and the capexes of the power transmission business during the remainder of this call. Turning quickly to the water business, there's been a 34.4% improvement in revenues in the quarter to 104 approximate crores, and the closing order book is a shade above 1,500 crores, broadly in line with what it was in the previous corresponding period. Now, the above results are based on the consolidated perspective, including our wholly owned SPVs. The orders that have been achieved in the water business for the 9 month period stands at just above 190 crores, excluding O&M orders. The company is expecting robust order booking in the coming quarters, and we're anticipating several important orders to be concluded within Q4 of this fiscal year. I'd like to spend just a few minutes talking about the outlook of the various businesses. As far as the sugar business is concerned, as a result of the debottlenecking and modernization carried out at our three factories, our crush is expected to be significantly higher this year. We are still maintaining, as we did on the call, on our last call before the sugar season, or just about when the sugar season had started, that we will have a higher crush of between 9 and 10% this year. Of course, with the capexes that have been planned, we propose that we will have a higher crush in the next season, an even higher crush compared to this year as well. The current ongoing season, there is a declining trend of recoveries across the state of Uttar Pradesh for the ratoon crop, and this is due mainly to the rains during the grand growth periods and thereafter in late October. However, we've had fantastic, conducive weather, and it is expected that there will be a catch-up for the balanced part of the season with the plant crop coming to the factories. Our test data from our labs indicates very positive results for the plant crop, which we anticipate coming to our plant over the next, the start will happen in the next week or 10 days, up to 2 weeks, depending on each plant. Considering the crush and recovery expectations, we expect higher production for the year. And with 60% of our total sugar being refined sugar and the doubling of the pharmaceutical grade production plant, This will all boost realizations and profitability in the coming quarters. The plant at Deoband, which was converted into a refinery, is operating brilliantly, and the sales of that refined sugar will be reflected in Q4 and beyond. A very small quantum was reflected in Q3. On the policy front, we believe this is the most appropriate time for the government before the budget to consider during the budget an increase in the MSP of sugar to offset the impact of costs and cane prices, etc. As I mentioned, the board has also approved a 90 crore capex to further modernize, debottleneck the plants, and for efficiency improvement across the various facilities. I would like to also mention that the recoveries for this year and last year are not directly comparable, because last year our largest factory at Khatauli ran on sea heavy molasses and therefore a higher recovery, versus this year the factory has run, in fact, 6 out of the 7 plants have run on B heavy molasses. The quantums are different, as I mentioned earlier. Turning to the outlook of our alcohol business, we have a capacity of 660 KLPD and a planned increase up to 1110 KLPD with 2 more distilleries, both of the new ones being dual feed. We believe that that is the modus operandi for sugar mills that should be adopted, giving you ultimate flexibility in terms of looking at the bottom line and the availability of different feedstocks for the distilleries. We're encouraged by the recent increase in ethanol prices. However, there is an urgent need for the government to improve the pricing of ethanol produced from juice. It is our understanding that the government is considering this, as well as an improvement in ethanol prices from grains. As far as Triveni is concerned, we have 260 KLPD of ours that can operate on grain of the 660 KLPD, and so therefore we do have a great deal of flexibility of being able to take advantage of the relative increases in prices as and when they happen. Looking at the power transmission business, the outlook for the domestic product segment within high-speed gears is extremely promising, as industrial capex in sectors like cement, energy, distillery, steel are growing and have been supported by policies and robust economic growth. And we're very encouraged by the increase in demand from these sectors. I would like to mention that following the expiration of the high-speed license agreement with Lufkin Gears LLC, which happened just a few weeks ago in January 2023, the company will pursue the high-speed, high-power segment independently, and it is confident, and I am confident, of enhancing our market share in identified target markets, which includes global markets. In the aftermarket business, the company is focused on expanding its addressable market and market share, looking both at domestic and identified target markets. The government's Make in India initiative has led to new opportunities for diverse engineering products, and the power transmission business is actively participating in many of these indigenous projects. In the defense segment, the business expects strong orders in areas such as propulsion shafting and many others. We believe that there is long-term growth in this segment, combined with the machining infrastructure that is likely to show growth over the coming years. Furthermore, the LM2500 package indigenization, the agreement that we have with GEAE, is expected to grow and to result in positive and good revenues for this particular segment. With a capex of 100 crores, which is split in 66% for gears and 33% for the defense business, that will allow the business to really meet the accelerated order booking that is anticipated over the next few quarters. Very quickly, for the water business outlook, the company is expecting a fantastic order booking, hopefully in this quarter and in the next quarter, with many projects coming under conclusion. We are expanding our activities in overseas markets, as I mentioned earlier, and there are certain tenders in international markets which will also be concluded during the first half of this calendar year. And there are many attractive states such as Karnataka, Uttar Pradesh, Punjab, Delhi, Telangana, and Maharashtra, where the company is working aggressively on securing projects. The overall output for EPC and HAM projects, which is driven by large investments for the government, both at the state and central level, is extremely positive, and we hope for some positive news on that front as well. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. With that, I'd like to conclude my opening remarks and open up the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Manyal from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
If you can give a range for the gross recovery decline till December and till date, and what is your expectation for the full season?
So the gross recovery decline till 31st December was about 0.39 units. As we stand today, we are around 0.34, 0.35 units down, and we believe that we'll be very close to last year's figures. May not touch it, but generally at a touching distance.
So you are expecting there would not be on a full season basis, there should not be much decline?
There will be a decline, but not significant.
Sure. Just on the accounting purpose...
Also, let me just add to it, and this is predicated on the plant gain performance, which is yet to come, which will come in February. It may even turn out to be better than what we are seeing at our labs right now.
Awesome. Just one more thing on the accounting purpose. Where have you accounted for this 29 crore profit book from the Kota sale?
It is appearing as a part of the revenue.
This is not the part of other income?
No, it's not a part of the other income.
Okay. And just one last thing on the alcohol side. I think you are still selling some 10% around ethanol from C-Heavy. Given the fact that it is not that remunerative, why you are still selling C-Heavy?
We are not selling from 10% of ethanol from C-Heavy. It is largely ENA, which is for our in-house consumption for IMIL business, as well as a little bit of grain ENA.
Okay. Perfect. And just lastly, if you can just elaborate on the engineering business from a 2 to 3 year perspective, what is your vision for this business, given the fact that you are taking a substantial capex? What do you think? How the revenues for the gears as well as the defense business can pan out in the next 2 to 3 years?
So you've seen the growth in order booking across the power transmission business. And I've always given this as a combined number, which includes gears and defense. And we're anticipating that on the defense side, certainly there are a lot of projects that are nearing conclusion. The growth has been very good this year. It will fructify into revenues. And therefore, that business requires an independent facility for the manufacture of these varied products. That's part of the CapEx. The other portion of the CapEx that has been announced is for a brand new facility at the same complex in Mysore, because we will be touching full capacities at some point during the course of the next fiscal year. And so we need to set up a brand new facility because we're seeing this business growing. We're anticipating larger quantums of business, both from OEM and aftermarket sales. And therefore, there is a requirement for newer capacity addition. Now, in terms of a 2 to 3 year perspective, I think the growth that is anticipated across both these businesses of power transmission is extremely robust. We're looking at not just the domestic market contributing towards it, but also select international markets. And the signs of that are already flowing in terms of enhancement of order booking from key customers. So, I typically don't give you numbers in terms of what our anticipation is, but, we've been growing at good rates. I expect those excellent double-digit rates of growth to continue.
Oh, Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much for all the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Firstly, what is our, you know, distillery capacity at the moment in terms of liters? You know, annually, how many liters can we do? And going forward, what are our plans, you know, to enhance this capacity further? And so, what amount of liters would that get us to also?
Right. Okay. So we have enhanced our capacities very recently. There's been one distillery that was commissioned in April of 2022, a second distillery that was commissioned in June, July of 22, taking our total capacity up to 660 kiloliters per day across the four distilleries. This year, as we have projected, we will be producing about 18 crore liters of alcohol. On a steady state, the 660 KLPD, which will be next year, fiscal 24, will produce just a shade above 21 crore liters of alcohol. The board has also announced a further addition of two distilleries of 225 KLPD each, which will be commissioned in Q4 of the next fiscal year. Those distilleries, when they are running at full capacity, will take our total production above 31 crore liters.
Okay, sure. That's helpful. Secondly, you know, this question again on sugar prices. So you mentioned that, you know, you expect sugar prices domestically to move up, as the season progresses. On that count, you know, what is the probability of a further cut in production numbers from 35 million ton, you know, because I think we started at 36.5, 37, now we're down to 35. So is there any further probability that, you know, the domestic production could be lower? First question is that. And second question obviously is, suppose if the government does not allow exports, further exports beyond 6 million ton, would that pressurize prices or, you know, subdue the momentum in terms of prices in any way? Yeah.
So I think my interpretation of this is that the markets at this particular point in time have taken a view that the government will have no further exports. And therefore, if there are exports that happen, it will certainly boost domestic sugar prices, number one. That's an important point to consider. So I don't see any downside from a perspective of if the government does not announce another million tons of exports, it will have a dampening effect. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I think it's already been factored in. If there is exports, it will boost domestic prices, number one. Number two, further downside revision. One's hope is, of course, anything can happen because we are dealing with agricultural products. And last year, the most significant impact on the plant crop was unseasonally high temperatures in the month of March. Now, today, as we stand at the end of January, we're still, you know, 35, 40 days away from March. So, meteorological data suggests, which is far more accurate, suggests that we will have normal temperatures as we go through the rest of the season. Now, in case that is that remains so, I believe that there will not be any great vacillation from the numbers that we project from the country. Are there any estimates of 35 million tons of production after diversion towards ethanol? However, there is any possibility. I don't think there is a great possibility of the production, the net number being higher than 35 million tons, frankly speaking.
Okay, got it. Also, I want to know, what is the diversion to ethanol that we've considered in the current sugar season, and what could possibly be the diversion in the next season, you know, once more capacities come about in the country?
So the diversion this year is we've taken it at 4.5 million tons. There is a little bit of work that is required to touch 4.5 million tons. And my hope is that with the subsequent tenders and the government being so proactive in terms of facilitating this 12% blending for this year, that we will see more diversion of sugar as the season concludes by the end of May. That's number one. As far as next year is concerned, I think it really depends on the capacity addition that takes place. Now, the capacities, frankly speaking, new capacity addition from sugar factories to process juice has waned. So the sugar industry investing large into large distilleries, that is not projected to increase by any dramatic amount between now and the next year. And as a result, I don't see that increasing. Although I do believe that we need higher prices of ethanol based on cane juice, and we will very quickly see more investments happening. So there are a few isolated distilleries. Triveni has two coming up. There are a few other groups that have a few coming up, but nothing substantial. But I do believe the government is looking at this, and my hope is that that policy will change, and it will allow the sugar industry to divert more juice, taking it up to at least 6 million tons of diversion and beyond over the coming years. My personal view is that the sugar industry should be able to divert north of 8 million tons of sugar towards the ethanol blending program. And that should be a more sustainable model over the medium to long-term basis.
Good. Also, last question from my end. What approvals are required for the buyback to go through?
It is, you know, we major thing was the shareholders' approval, which we have already received. And we have given all the draft advertisements, etc. And the draft letter of offer has been filed with the SEBI. And we are awaiting the final observation, which is expected soon.
Okay. It's an open market route or is it a tender with the buyback?
No, it's a tender on a proportion basis.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So I want to know what is our ethanol mix target this year and going forward?
So this year, we have already done the numbers which are already with you in terms of 90% coming in from B-heavy, 90% being the total ethanol and 10% being ENA. Of that, 57% is from B-heavy and 33% is from grain. This is for the Q3 numbers. Now, for the total alcohol, which we will be dispatching in FY23, I think the number will be from B-heavy will be about 74% to 75%, and grain will be about 25% to 26%.
Okay. So our endeavor would be more towards producing B-heavy till the max we can. Right.
Absolutely.
Correct. And I would also, you know, as I mentioned in my concluding remarks, the crush increase that is happening of 9 to 10% this year gives substantially improved feedstock for the distilleries. And the fact that we're looking at more optimization next year means that we will have more feedstock, more B-heavy molasses that will be available for the distilleries for the following year as well.
Okay. And this recovery scenario, which caused due to the late rain, I was under the impression, like, why haven't the price moved in UP then? If the whole UP had a lower recovery, and how chances are good that for a new additional export quota will come?
So I think I just answered part of that question just a few minutes ago. The movement in sugar prices, or rather the stagnation in movement of sugar prices, is a bit of an anomaly, frankly speaking. There is no reason, given the balance sheet position as of even today, that the sugar prices should be at the levels that they are. My view is that the market is assimilating what the production numbers will be. We are happy to give out some any estimates in terms of production today. That the association meetings are happening early next week, where there will be more announcements of the production for the nation as a whole. And I think all of that, once it gets absorbed, will reflect into some positive movement in sugar prices.
But sir, according to you, how much another, like, do we need another 3 million tons of export to keep the stock as well as the prices steady for the millers to have at least a decent margins on this?
No, absolutely not. If I run through the quick balance sheet numbers, if you have just under 26 million tons of consumption in the country, so let's say 27.5 to 27.7 million tons, and you have 35 million tons of production with 6 million tons of exports. So with another million tons of exports, you've pretty much maintained the opening balance and as the closing balance for sugar season 22-23. So there's not that much export that is required. And I think the government is judicious in this perspective and is watching what the total production numbers are. My hope, of course, is that with these estimates coming out, the government will quickly announce a million tons of export. However, my personal view is that the market, the trade, has factored in no more exports. And so therefore, I do not see any downside to sugar prices. Frankly speaking, I only see some upside.
Okay. Some upside will obviously cause when there is a demand supply, again, more of a demand and less of a supply it comes. Otherwise, it stays more or less at this level, the prices.
No, that's not what I said.
Because if there is no export, there would be no, again, no pressure on the supply. So prices could be at this level, basically.
Frankly speaking, prices, of course, move from time to time. There is a quota that is announced by the central government on a month-to-month basis. It has an impact on pricing. The variables that actually result in market price are fairly substantial. It is not simply a demand and supply equation. Because it's a controlled commodity, there are various elements. So it is, I wouldn't agree with you that the prices will remain stable at this level. I think there is huge opportunity and other mechanisms to allow for price enhancements to happen. The majority of those rest with the central government and DFPD.
Okay, sir. Sir, even though we have had a good export realization, what is our cost of production? Because I'm trying to gauge like what caused the margin to decline like this.
You know, if we are able to get almost the same recovery as last year, I think the cost of production would also remain at the same level. The cost of production as of 31st December is not very relevant because, you know, as of now, the recoveries are a little less and going forward in the season, recoveries would further improve. So therefore, you would get the benefit as the recoveries improve.
Okay. So till 31st December, since the inventory is now valued at 34.4, can we take it similar to this level, 34.4?
No, that's not what we said. We said that with the rest of the season, the recoveries will improve, the cost of productions will come down, and if we achieve the same recoveries as last year, but and with higher crushes, despite some small increases in other costs, in input costs, etc., we will still maintain the average cost of production as last year.
Just to give you an example, 31st March 2022, our cost of production was 32.7.
Okay.
So with the recoveries converging now, I think one should move towards that figure.
Okay, I got it. Thank you so much. I'll get John back in with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of execution. Sir, my couple of questions were on the PTB division. What would be the capital employed as on third quarter in this division?
Just one second. No, it will be here. Yeah, it will be here. Just one minute.
Okay, sir. And if my understanding is right, we are spending roughly around 180 crores more in this division, considering our earlier announcement and the announcement in this quarter. So broadly, given the asset turn what we have, which is, say, in the range of 1.5, we are expecting very good growth in this division. Is that understanding right, sir?
That understanding is correct. I would also urge you to consider that the capex that is being incurred, the total amount that you have mentioned, is pretty much split 2:1. So 66% of it is for growth of the traditional gears business, and the balance is for the new facility that is being set up for defense production. That, the latter is required as a discrete independent facility for all the defense products with the orders that we have won as a company, and we will continue to win as over the next few quarters, and we anticipate excellent growth on that front. As far as the traditional gears business is concerned, with a focus of expansion in certain areas, especially a dual-pronged strategy of OEM growth and service and aftermarket revenue growth, we do need further capacity additions, and the growth rates that you have assumed are very much in line with what we expect and what we are already seeing in terms of enhanced order booking levels.
Okay. So to just summarize what you said, so out of this 180 crores, 120 crores is going towards capacity expansion, and one third is little bit longer gestation period or expected, right? So that is understanding, right? Is that right? Around 120, the gears business?
Absolutely, that is correct.
Okay, sir. And what would be the key monitorables apart from the private capex what you highlighted for this division? Because I'm not that averse with the division as such. So private capex would be one monitorable. Apart from that, other monitorables for the division?
Shailesh, your line is a bit unclear. Could you just go softer and just slower as well? We're not able to hear you very well.
So, I'll just repeat it out. I just wanted to know monitorables for the division, apart from the private capex, what Sarat mentioned in the opening remarks.
I'm sorry, what exactly do you mean by monitorables?
See, what I'm trying to understand is that, basically, I'm expecting around 30-35% jump in this business. So just wanted to know where the order inflows are expected to come from, apart from private capex. Any other monitorables for us to look out for in the next couple of years in this division?
There's defense. There's private capex, there's public capex, and there's defense. There are three. And I'm not going to comment on the growth rates that you're expecting. But what I will say is that we're expecting very reasonable growth across both the traditional gear segment and the defense segment. The boost in terms of order booking, the very large quantums, of course, will come from the defense side, but that will have a longer gestation period. That will be over a larger number of years. On the traditional gear side, it is expected with shorter duration, as is always, that is the nature of the business. I do want to mention that the growth will not be at the consequence of profitability. We're very proud of the margins that the business has maintained over the last 15-20 quarters of over approximately 35% EBITDA margins and over 30% PBT margins. Broadly, brushstrokes I'm giving you for the last number of quarters, and the growth will certainly not be at a consequence of that. So we're looking at profitable growth as it happens.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. That was very useful. So coming to the power water division, there has been some margin pressure till 9 months. Any views on that? Any particular reason for that? We are facing margin pressures on water division?
I mentioned this in my opening remarks. I think I would encourage you not to look at 9 month numbers and to wait for the next quarter and look at the annual numbers, because a lot of this is based on execution and recognition of revenues, etc. And that is lumpy. The business is lumpy. The recognition is lumpy. And so a point in time to look at the margins is will not do justice to that business, and is unfair to that business. I do believe that it is a challenging business, but we have got excellent margins, especially when we compare ourselves to our peers in the group, certainly in the top echelon. And I believe that this business is growing profitably and growing well, and you will see that reflection when you review our full year results.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, we were requested to please come back in the queue. Participants, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, sir. I just wanted a hint on what is your take on that price hike for maybe this
Sorry to interrupt you. So, Lokesh, your voice is not very clear. Please speak with through the handset.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Much better. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Just wanted a sense on what you're expecting on or what you're hearing on SAP price hike expectations front, basically given that this year is the pre-election one. So from the current sugar season and the next one, if you know, you can provide any clue on that.
So Lokesh, this is not the pre-election year. In fact, next year is the pre-election year. And we are halfway through the course of this year. There have been press articles. Your news is as fresh as mine. But my perspective is that there is really no reason for any increase to happen this year, even if it is from a political perspective. From an economic perspective, I don't think there is any reason. The real improvement to farm incomes has happened as a consequence of yield. And farm incomes have done very, very well. I think it is very clear to me that if there were any increase in SAP this year, it will lead to substantial cane arrears. And that is something that the government definitely wants to avoid. It has done extremely well thus far to ensure that cane price payments have been better than ever before, frankly speaking. And so even at this particular point in time, I don't think that position is something that the government wants to tinker with. My view would be that there will be no increase in SAP this year. And I would certainly argue and put forward our perspectives to the government for next year to see where sugar prices are and give our views in terms of what the pricing should be for the following year.
Understood. Got that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. There's two questions.
Sir, your voice is not very clear. If you can speak to the answer.
Just two questions. On the water business side, what do we anticipate as our sustainable EBITDA margin, right? On a long-term basis, what is it that we can actually achieve? And second is that the business, the engineering business and the water business, so they are, let's say, distinctly different from the sugar business. So do management have any thoughts or any plans to demerge that at some point of time? Let's say it's now a 500 odd crore business plus, right? So,
you've asked a very pertinent question. Let me answer the first one. On a long-term sustainable basis, we're certainly looking at EBITDA margins north of 10%. So double-digit PBIT margins is what is the expectation of this business. Of course, there is lumpiness, order value changes, its execution changes, etc. But over a long-term basis, that is the expectation at a sustainable level and a much larger level of revenues from where we are today. Point one. The second point is in terms of the disparate nature of businesses that you've commented on. The board at this point in time has not evaluated any form of demerger, etc. As and when it does, we will inform the stock exchanges and happy to come back to you to discuss it further. But at this particular point in time, the businesses are all under the umbrella of Triveni Engineering.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I had a couple of questions, one specific to the company and one at a macro level. So again, on the sugar number, ISMA started off with a figure of 40.5 million tons as on December. And now we are hearing figures like 38.5, 39, wherever it will go. And it seems that this production loss is going to be coming from Maharashtra, Karnataka mostly. Is that a correct assumption? Because most of the UP mills are thinking the recoveries will be higher in the fourth quarter and production will be slightly higher than last year. Is that a correct assumption?
So broadly speaking, I think the most significant lower production numbers are certainly coming from Maharashtra. One or two mills have already shut down, and more and more will start. So the reduction is coming there. Now, as far as the ISMA estimates are concerned, I think earlier they were broadly, our own Triveni estimates were very much in line, where we had 4.5 million tons of diversion coming to about 36 million tons of sugar production. We've now reduced that number to 35 million tons as we believe that the numbers coming from Maharashtra and a little bit from Karnataka will be lower to the majority of this. Uttar Pradesh should be broadly in line with what is last year, some higher, some companies higher, some companies lower.
So effectively same as last year.
Correct. Your second question? Okay.
Yeah, my second question was a larger question on the E20. If you could give me some color on the way the supply side is gearing up, because we are hearing by April 23 there will be E20 in the pumps. So how is it going to be like? Is it going to be like a separate dispenser like we see abroad, or is it going to be the pumps changing over to E20? Because the latter is not possible given that the old cars are not actually likely to run an E20. So some color on the supply side, because I know how the auto companies are gearing up. But on the supply side, how will the pumps gear up to sell E20?
So, actually, I'll answer both, even though you've asked me only on the supply side. On the supply side, frankly speaking, from the announcements, the press announcements from MOPNG, it is going to be on a pilot basis in certain cities across the country. And I think that is going to basically look at certain distribution points, certain petrol pumps that have the facility to bifurcate E20 from E10 and offer that optionality to customers. We don't know as yet what the pricing of E20 will be, very frankly speaking. So will it be at the same price or will it be at a potential discount is still something that is to be discovered. That's point one. The second point that I would like to make is that most four-wheelers, from a metallurgical perspective, have engines that can meet higher levels of ethanol blending. So they don't really have any performance-related issues. It is the two-wheelers that have the bulk of the problems of historic vehicles. But going forward from 1st of April, there is no problem for any new vehicle in the country. And so this announcement strategically matches with the automobile manufacturers having E20 vehicles being sold to the public. I do believe that from a pilot perspective, it's the best way to go, because frankly speaking, otherwise creeping up from E10 to E11, 12, 13, 14, all the way up to 20 is not a viable scenario. This is an ideal scenario, and it is, frankly speaking, a visionary move in terms of adoption of E20 across the country.
So even the old four-wheelers...
Sorry to interrupt you. I would request you to please come back in the queue.
Just a follow-up to the earlier question.
Okay.
So as I understand, the old four-wheelers can also handle the E20, as per what you just discussed, as per the engineering of the old four-wheelers are concerned.
I can't comment on all four-wheelers, but only from a metallurgical perspective. There may be some rubber part issues, etc., but broadly speaking, the answer would be towards yes. Everything is shades of grey here.
So can I just supplement it? What you will have is finally two dispensers coming in. One will be E10, which will be the base or the protector, which may move up to E11, E12, and the other one will be an E20 dispenser. So that would be what the pilot is going to undertake right now. And that's how you are going to get blending.
But four-wheelers, to answer your second question, by and large should not face any problems.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
So I would like to know, what was the grain ENA prices which you realized last quarter?
Grain ENA prices which we realized last quarter were about 54 rupees plus 18% GST.
Grain ENA I was referring to, not grain ethanol. There would be a difference, right? If a grain ENA would be selling in the market.
So that's why I said 54 rupees plus 18% GST. So this matches in with the ethanol prices of 58.50 plus 5% GST. If you look at those parity numbers, you will come closer to those numbers.
Okay. Understood, sir. So the second question was, if, like you mentioned, you're looking for the government to increase the ethanol prices, if the government were not to increase the ethanol prices, would it under the investment plans going ahead in the ethanol segment?
I think the speed at which new capex would come up would certainly be impacted, because you are seeing material price increases, you are seeing input cost increases that are happening. For example, for the grain-based plants, you're seeing that the cost of fuel has increased quite substantially. You're also seeing metal price increases and some delays. So, you know, there will certainly be an impact. It will delay the amount of capex coming into this industry. However, is it a total negative? Not a complete negative. There is still a difference between grain and molasses or juice-based plants.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Agarwal from Sterling Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to understand in this distillery division, you have recorded very good growth in IML sales, Indian made Indian liquor sales. So which areas do you market this product, and can you share the quantum of sales for the quarter and for the 9 months in terms of liters?
Well, in terms of the number of cases, I'll just give it to you. I'll just give it to you. What we are doing right now is that we are selling it in UP, and our focus is on two areas. One is, which are the areas which are close to us where we save on the freight costs going ahead? And B is also a little distant away, so some good cities within UP wherein our brand gets built up. And the numbers we have in terms of cases is about 9.31 lakh cases in this quarter and 21.84 lakh cases in the 9 months.
So I wanted this in liters. Can you share it in liters?
So
sales in liters, sales in... 3. Hello.
Multiply by 9, hello. Please, and you'll get the liters. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So I wanted to understand, sir, what is the amount of grain required to produce a liter of ethanol, sir? And so what is the price of the rice that we are buying right now for the grain?
So there are two aspects to it. One is the surplus rice, which comes from FCI. Now that's fixed by the government at 20 rupees. And the recovery we are getting right now is let's say virtually 470 liters per metric ton of grain. The other one is what we buy from the market. That's called the damaged food grains. And their pricing has been somewhere around 1925. We get about 45.5 plus liters per, or 455 liters per metric ton of the grain.
Thank you, sir. So that was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Singh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Can you put some light on the cost of production of the ethanol, both syrup derived and B heavy ethanol, and also the country liquor? Hello. Am I audible?
You know,
yes.
Number one, in the case of ethanol produced from wee heavy molasses, we have a transfer price of 1,000 rupees, and the recoveries are approximately about 29.5 to 30. So you can come to the material cost, and over and above that, you can take approximately 10 to 11 rupees considering variable cost as well as the fixed expenses. So that will be your total cost of production. And similarly, in the case of grain, I think we have already given you the figures of recovery, etc. We have already given you the procurement price. So you can arrive at what is the material cost per liter of ethanol. And thereafter, approximately the same amount, 11 to 12 rupees, you can add towards the variable cost and fixed expenses.
Okay. And regarding the country liquor?
No, I think we don't declare our prices for conversion of country liquor.
Can you please pardon?
In terms of grain, it's an important thing that we also get a co-product out of it, and which is DDGS, which is about 36% of it, and of the alcohol produced, and which we market at about 25, 26 rupees. So at the end of the day, my net conversion cost comes to about 4 rupees or 4 rupees 50 paise.
That's for grain-based.
Yes.
Grain-based.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just one question I had to ask. Sir, in sugar division, what are your strategy to increase availability of feedstock going ahead? If you can elaborate something on that front, because we are seeing good growth on that front, and crushing facilities also is excellent. So can you just help me with understanding on that front?
Absolutely. We have a multi-pronged cane development strategy that has been in place. There are short-term and medium-term targets that go down to the macro, the micro level, to the over 1,000 people that actually work within the development function of the business. Now, to give you a small idea of the work that is being done, it is being done in, right from soil mapping and understanding the constituent elements of the soil and improving the soil balance so that you can get higher productivity at the farm level, to the actual planting of the crop, to propose newer technologies across our area. We've had huge success, and we will continue to hopefully have great success in terms of newer technologies and better planting practices, deeper and wider, just to paraphrase, etc. In addition to that, the provision of quality seed treatment, quality fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, etc. That is extremely vital. Lastly, I think the program that we have in place with respect to technology in terms of capturing information is absolutely vital in terms of our sourcing the cane once it is grown. So it's a multi-pronged approach. And the last point that I left out is a vast number of demonstration plots. The show-and-tell method is absolutely vital in terms of encouraging farmers to adopt more modern and current practices. And that is extremely important in terms of our medium-term targets. And I've actually left out one more element, which is an association that we have with leading institutes across the country in terms of getting the best advice really at the ground level to be disseminated amongst our farmers. So it's a six-pronged strategy that we have in place to ensure continued availability and greater availability of sugarcane.
Excellent, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. That was very useful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for the Q3 9-month results for Triveni Engineering. It's been a very interesting quarter. I believe a good set of numbers. There have been some challenges on the sugar production front, but the other elements of the business have all performed well. As we move into the fourth quarter this year, there is huge hope in terms of a turnaround, not really a turnaround, but a vast improvement in sugar production and cost of goods as far as sugar is concerned. And, of course, the expectation from the engineering businesses as well as our distillery business is quite robust. I look forward to talking to you with our full year results in May. Thank you very much and good afternoon.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Triveni Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.